Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Baseless Speculation, all the pop culture news and none of the research. I'm Jackson Bailey.
And I'm Joel, and today we're joined by very special guest and one of the three hosts of the Scaredy Boys podcast. It's Damien Robb.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, fellas.
Congratulations.
You're sitting in a room with Joel and Jackie Sack. It's feels
Jackie Sack.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's a good one.
I'm just very excited to get base with you boys.
Yeah, let's get base for once in our goddamn lives.
So, what do we think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah.
It's good to interrupt me because you're like,
I did the, because Joel's Hammond's not here, he's throwing up. So I was doing the intro, but then you took the second part of the intro, which is fine.
Because you didn't introduce Damo.
Well, I feel like you sort of jumped in.
Well, because I had to say my name too.
Yeah.
This is going great.
Yeah. We nailed exactly the professionalism until now when we're having an argument. Dude, not in front of Damo.
Dude, act civil.
Who cares about the thousands of people that download this episode? We got to sort this out. Just
in the last episode we did, you also were like, oh shit, I gotta go get a drink halfway through this episode.
Yeah, but I didn't get a drink.
Which was very professional.
That's crazy. Yeah,
but then I did get a drink before the start of this
one. Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's not a drink I wanted. What? But now it's very, I don't know, don't talk to me about my drink choice, all right?
Okay.
You just shut the fuck up. You let me drink this monster energy drink that I don't really want, all right?
Okay.
What I wanted an ice cold Coke Zero. You know what? You're in my bad books over this because there's three or four half-drunk Coke Zeros in the office space.
Right.
All with your signature can opening.
I have a signature. You might not know this, Damo,
but
I have a signature way of opening my cans.
So I opened the fridge, none left. Oh, well, that's okay because there's three on this table, all open.
Yeah.
You didn't just grab one anyway?
I was too angry to check.
What do we think is going to happen in the new Anaconda movie? Yes, so they've gone for an interesting direction with this. They're rebooting sort of the Anaconda franchise. Mm-hmm. And the way they're doing this is Paul Rudd and Jack Black, their characters are trying to reboot or make a sort of fan remake or real reboot of the original Anaconda movies. It's sort of a metatextual Freddy's Nightmare.
New Nightmare.
Freddy's New Nightmare style movie, but about Anaconda.
No Freddy, just the New Nightmare. It's Wes Craven's The New Nightmare.
Dude, I'm fucking this
fucking
up.
Do anything right? You drink all my drinks. I buy mine. I mean ours.
Not in front of Damien.
But I wouldn't care.
It feels like I'm with my parents. What's happening here?
I wouldn't care if you finished them, but they're just everywhere.
Do you think
I'm tripping over them?
They might be empty. You didn't check.
Dude, they're not. If they were fully empty, they wouldn't. They shouldn't be where they were anyway.
But I might have just put them there and forgot.
Is that drink next to you right now, drank?
No, it's about half drank. But I still have time.
Yeah.
I still have time on this one. Did either of you see the original Anaconda and Anacondas?
Yeah, so I've seen for the delightful show Scaredy Boys, episodes every Friday, we've done the original Anaconda.
Yeah.
We've also done the, I think it was 2024 or 2023 Chinese remake.
Oh, damn.
Of Anaconda called Anaconda.
Hell yeah.
That to me feels like what this movie is, as in the guys behind the scenes of this Chinese remake loved the original Anaconda so much. They're like, we got to fucking make this
movie.
That's
cool.
Because it was done on a shoestring.
Yeah.
It's not a great movie.
Yeah.
The snake looks so good.
Really?
The snake looks so much better than the original, because the original was just like
from like 1997 or something.
But then those same filmmakers went on to make this movie called The Water Monster.
Oh yeah.
Which that always, because Sean Carney watched this for a bonus episode we do on Patreon and fell in love with this movie wholeheartedly.
Wow.
Like, he watched it twice in 2 days. Has given it 5 stars both times. There's like not enough reviews on Letterboxd for it to even really be on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get the word out for people to watch this Water Monster. But made by the same guys who did the Anaconda.
Yeah.
So when I watched this trailer, I was like, oh, this feels like the Chinese Anaconda.
Yeah, okay. Like they're like doing a, weird.
Yeah. So look, for this one, it doesn't look great.
No, it looks really bad.
Like, I don't know.
It's, well, it's busy. I think so, it's, yeah.
The Anaconda series, this will help a little bit, I think, but it's crazier than we remember it being.
Okay. Yeah. So which ones have you seen?
So I've only seen the first one.
Yeah.
But then there's Anacondas. So there's Anaconda, Anacondas, which is the hunt for the Blood Orchid.
I think I've seen
that's
that.
Two.
I've seen one
is
and two.
Is that his tag name? The hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I think I then really, I've.
Anaconda 3 Offspring.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, give it to me, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Pretty then, fly for a white cat. Yeah. Yeah.
I was hoping Joel would sing some of that Offspring today. That's great.
My friend's got a girlfriend. Man, he hates that bitch.
Yeah, she tells me every day.
He tells me every day.
Offspring would have drunk white Monster Energy drinks as well. So
the lead guitarist of the Offspring, Noodles, he's 38 or 39 when they write Pretty Fire for a White Guy.
Wow, that's crazy.
The Offspring got popular very late for the type of music they made.
Yeah,
I always remember the album
Americana.
Americana with the kid on the swing and the front cover.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that in an older boy's house and becoming very scared as a child because I was like, that little boy has been eaten by that monster. I'm very afraid.
Yeah. Intimidating. I can only imagine what the music is in this CD.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Pretty Fly for a White Guy. Which is on that album.
That explains a lot.
Anyway, the Offspring got like famous way too late. Like, as in for making that type of music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, he's in his 40s when Original Prankster comes out.
That's very strange.
Yeah. We still got 10 years of doing, like, Joel Zammert saying all the terrible things he says on Plumbing the Death Star.
Yeah.
Still not as bad as Noodle riding Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Absolutely, dude.
Anyway, but also Plumbing the Death Star made us as a company a lot less money than Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
I'd trade it all in to be Noodle.
I would change my name to Noodle to make that happen.
And the lead singer, Dexter, he's named that because he's got a PhD. There's some Offspring. Like I never really liked them that much, and I never have. I just know these things. It's an illness.
Yeah, it's a sickness you have.
Anyway, then Anacondas 4, which is just called Anacondas, Trail of Blood. Then there's a crossover movie.
What?
Which I feel like people don't talk about very often, and it's a crazy one. It's Lake Placid versus Anaconda.
What the fuck?
Okay, that's a crocodile.
Yeah. Dude, Lake Placid... and I say this as a man who saw that movie at like 13. Yeah. Fucking awesome movie, right?
You know what I love what I love about Lake Placid is the irony that it's called Lake Placid.
Yes,
because
exactly.
It's not Placid
it's
at
not
all.
Placid even a little bit.
They named this
it's crazy
oh
in
my
that
God,
lake.
That's good stuff.
Dude, they don't make lake monster movies anymore.
Well, apparently Water Monster. They're doing it in China.
That's where you gotta go. That's where it's happening.
Yeah,
damn.
I'm gonna keep plugging Water Monster this whole episode. Sean's gonna be so happy.
Yeah, get those numbers up. Get on Letterboxd and review it.
Make it happen.
Do you remember the Lake Monster movie? Is it called like Ogopogo Secrets in the Water or something?
I definitely don't know that movie.
Dude, that movie was awesome.
So like Okja? Of like a...
No, not Okja. It's like from the like probably the like early 90s. My tree. My tree's gone crazy. I gotta find this movie, dude. Ogopogo, there's something in the water. And I remember it would be on TV.
The is it like a
grief,
creature
dude.
From the Black Lagoon style?
No, well, Ogopogo is a cryptid. It's like a lake monster in America. And it's about a little girl that moves to this town and she develops a relationship with Ogopogo. And there's like a little boy. There's a little boy maybe trying to dig to China, maybe.
Okay, this movie's got it all.
Yeah, dude. It's come on, let me find. Maybe it wasn't Ogopogo. Hang on.
Here's my immediate prediction based on speculation for the 2025 Anaconda. It's going to cross over with Ogopogo.
Yeah. God, I hope it does.
Oh, my days.
Water Horse? No, it wasn't Water Horse. God damn it. I'm not going to be able to find this movie. I thought it was called. And I remember this. Maybe this will help.
It is a real movie. Like, just quickly checking. It is a real movie.
I've made it up in my head.
Okay. are you also looking for
Ogopogo? No, I was too busy distracted by the fact that Betty White is in the first Lake Placid.
What the hell? And this is what I also remember from Ogopogo, there's something in the water, is that when it was on TV, obviously, you know, and they don't do this anymore, but when it would cut to commercial, they would like show the logo of the movie. Do you remember what did this?
Yeah.
And the main girl would say, "There's something in the water."
Oh.
I don't know if that helps anyone to remember this movie. What are the other classic American lake monsters?
Lake monsters.
I mean, were you thinking of Ogopogo because there's an episode of Mike Tyson Mysteries about Ogopogo, no. A TV show that you and you alone are the only people who've
ever watched?
It's really good. movie, come on.
Wait, there's something in the water said like that is a line from a different horror movie.
There's something in the water.
I feel like that's going to be like a Lake Placid or something.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I know this movie's real, though.
I believe you. Ogopogo, there's something in the water.
The internet doesn't agree, but it's definitely real.
I cannot find it online, but Ogopogo, there's something in the water. Which
the repository
may...
of human knowledge says no, but I believe it does exist.
And it may not even have that name specifically, but I know it's some American lake monster. And I thought it was Ogopogo.
So it was a movie. It wasn't like a TV series. Yeah.
It was a movie.
And you're remembering it on Channel 10 because Channel 10, when they went to ad breaks, used to just have a line from the movie famously, made famous from everyone's nostalgia of the, I can't lie!
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it was like, the premise was, okay, little girl has moved to this lake and she's and there's like a town on the lake that she's staying in.
Yeah.
There's something in the And there's something in the water. And there she finds out that there's a legend of a lake monster in the town. Cool. And so she starts leaving Oreos on the dock and the Oreos start disappearing. And she
goes, Oigo Boigo, whatever it's called, loves an Oreo.
Yeah, Oigo Boigo.
The movie you're thinking of is Magic in the Water.
Magic in the Water. Is it about Ogopogo?
Give me the name of this thing. I gotta know this fucking thing's name.
Magic in the Water, dude. 1995. Classic movie. At some point, they make a robot of the lake monster.
There for me to have a look.
Yeah, look at this. Tell me you don't want to watch this movie.
Oh, come on! Colors.
Are you that excited to learn about?
I'm excited. That looks like a similar one. There was a spider one that I'm now arachnid. I think it was.
Oh yeah,
similar kind of poster.
Absolutely, I love that. It's like that '90s silhouette in a small town on a peaceful lake.
Oh, give me a mythical
creature is about to come to life.
Oh fuck.
Magic in the Water, where the legend ends and the adventure begins.
Oh my god, how many taglines is this movie?
Quite a few.
Orky the...
Okay, it's not the Ogopogo.
It's not the Ogopogo.
It's called Orky.
Orky looks horrible.
Oh, I gotta see a photo of this thing.
Oh, do you think the
20... No, actually, I don't want to see a photo. I want Joel to describe it to
me.
Yeah,
good idea.
Use your words.
Roger Ebert described him as an ashen Barney the dinosaur, but he doesn't, doesn't describe how upsetting he is to look at. He looks like they've made a seal puppet, but big.
Oh, okay.
No.
And these puppeteer, are they high quality? Are they Jim
Henson?
They
look like, what's a good example? It's like that kind of like where you can tell it's almost certainly an animatronic when you're looking at it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Slow blinks and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, a movie from Jackson's childhood. Let me just check what the critics have to say.
I know it's 21% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is never a good sign.
Okay.
And there's a
Moulton.
This is from critic Leonard Maltin. All the magic must be in the water. There's certainly none on the screen.
Oh, Leonard. Get the claws out. Kitty has claws.
Okay. But hey, at the 16th Genie Awards, it won for cinematography and sound.
And that is...
So, you know.
It's award-winning.
It's award-winning. It's an award-winning movie,
film.
Dude.
I'm going to give it the film catalog.
I think it's a film, too. I'm going to track it down and rewatch it, I reckon.
I think so.
Rather than Shang-Chi, a movie I need to watch. I think, hey, if you are subscribed to Baseless Speculation Plus and you love the episodes where I review Shang-Chi and you want to find out about Legend of the Water or whatever,
Magic of Magic
subscribe
in the
to Baseless
Water.
Speculation Plus.
It's coming.
Do you know who the lead actor in Magic in the Water is?
No, who is it?
It's so the two leads, Mark Harmon and Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mark Harmon is the lead guy from NCIS.
Oh, Mark Harmon. Yeah, yeah.
And Joshua Jackson is Charlie from
Dawson's Creek.
Mighty Ducks.
Oh, damn, dude.
Creek. Yeah.
What about Harley Jane Kozak? She's the little girl. She was in When Harry Met Sally and Arachnophobia, which I think is the movie you were talking about.
That is the one
about.
I was trying to think of, yes.
Arachnophobia does have a fucking baller poster.
It's good, right?
It's
yeah.
so cool.
Very nice.
I should watch that movie too.
It's a good movie. Spiders are creepy. They actually do it really well for them. Awesome. They use real spiders for the majority of the movie. And there's a lot of spiders in this movie.
That's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, he's still looking up Secrets in the Water.
I'm just looking up the director's filmography, and it makes me a little sad.
What's he done?
Oh, no.
So his last movie was Expiration Date.
Okay.
A 2006 independent black comedy film.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he's doing the 5,000 Days project ongoing. But I was like looking into that. I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. It just sounds like he's like. He founded in 2001, he founded the 5,000 Days Project, a global organization dedicated to understanding the journey of becoming an adult and developing emotional intelligence in youth. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. It seems like a weird thing to do.
So yeah. This is the guy who did Oingo Boingo. Or whatever. Yeah. This is the same director.
This is what Johnny Oingo Boingo.
As of 2019, he was like, I've done 5,500 in-depth personal interviews with kids.
Wow.
What is he trying to?
What's I don't know, bro.
Is he trying to remember what happens when you're a kid, like how stupid kids are?
Yeah,
and
maybe.
They don't get it,
or like that transition, like from kid to adult, like what's going on in the head?
Yeah.
Well, his filmography—he made some crazy looking movies, dude. Anyway, so Anaconda, it looks like they're doing a weird thing where
it's
they're
Tropic Thunder meets the first Anaconda.
Yeah, they're taking like a horror franchise and being like, what if, can we get away?
Yeah.
Because it's a horror franchise, and I know this is maybe crazy to say something about something with five movies. Mm. I don't think anybody particularly cares about.
No, I agree. So like for Scary Boys this year, we've had like a focus on franchises and trying to hit. And we've like, to be honest, we've probably ignored some of the bigger ones because there are so many effing franchises out there, like almost things that you don't think has a franchise. Like we did Hellraiser last year. We did the remake of Hellraiser just recently. There's like 12 of those.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is insane.
That is really crazy.
I would have
never
guessed.
And a new video game coming out on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like Evil Dead is about to get, as of next year, we'll have its sixth film.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. Yeah.
Six Evil Dead movies, let alone and a TV series.
That is crazy. Yeah.
You can, horror is like ripe for franchises. But I agree. Anaconda is, like, we've done the first one, and like I said, this Chinese remake, mostly out of just insane curiosity of what it could be. But it's not one that we've visited even in our franchise year. We haven't gone back and like checked out the others.
Absolutely. And I think that's partially because like what are they going to surprise you with?
It's going to be a snake, I guess. It's like, I'm going to guess snake.
Like I think in Search for the Blood Orchid, which I'm pretty sure got a theatrical release.
Yeah, so the first two got a theatrical release, but first one was a success, but not enough of a success. So enough of a success to get a greenlight a sequel.
Yeah.
Not enough of a success for them to be like, let's go bigger with the sequel. Right. They went smaller with the sequel. Budget of the original one, $45 million, and it made $136 million. So success, but like, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not like going like fucking hell, full steam ahead on this.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cast of the original one, J-Lo, Ice Cube, John Voight, Owen Wilson,
Voight in
Eric
that movie,
Stoltz,
unlike anything you've ever seen.
Oh my god!
Yeah, Sean has this screenshot he would send me repeatedly of Voight doing this like sneer thing in his face. Yeah. That was just the most horrid thing I can imagine.
Oh, that rules!
Shouldn't be put on screen. I'm so happy they did.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah,
Who's in Hunt for the Blood Orchid?
Yeah. So,
is he?
No.
I said,
who is
in Hunt for the Blood Orchid? Yeah.
Then we've got.
Come on.
Loving.
Yeah.
Johnny Messner?
Okay.
He's known for his role in Anaconda's The Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
That's what he's known for? Johnny Mess. Oh,
Johnny Mess, the mess man.
Man making a mess of things.
Yeah.
Kadee Strickland?
Okay.
Catherine D. Strickland, but for some reason she's. Matthew Marsden?
Okay.
The
sibling of John Marsden? sibling of...
Personal life, he is... Doesn't seem any relation.
Okay.
He's in Black Hawk Down, though.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a movie that's got, like, heaps of guys in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it does. Well, that's crazy. I remember quite liking Hunt for the Blood Orchid. I think it did, like, a thing where it kind of... sort of shifted genre a little. This is my very hazy memory.
Yeah.
And was like, we're going for more of like an adventure kind of like, not Indiana Jones style, but like in that direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, I think any remake of it, like you said, it's not going to surprise anyone by going, oh, there's a big snake and it's probably going to eat a few of us. But I think it would surprise it if it's like, oh, we're trying to find, we're literally having the tropes of an Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But there's also a big snake.
Well, I think that's the thing. They were like, we need to find the blood orchid, which is like a special plant that can bring you back to life.
A healing thing. Yeah,
but they were like, but it's in an anaconda infested part of it. They kind of went like weirdly Congo style. Where they were like, there's an ancient place, but it just so happens in this case to be full of, not so, mutant gorillas, but giant.
To bring up the Chinese one again, because its plot is wild. So basically, it's got this like, kind of like a circus troupe.
Oh, okay.
Who this person is like, they're like manager or whatever, has actually worked a deal out with this anaconda hunter who's a lunatic for anacondas, which that's John Voight in the first, in the original one, but basically has basically sold his circus troupe as bait for the anacondas, but they don't know that.
That's cool.
And so you're like, oh, sick, circus troupe. You see them at the start, you see them performing and they've all got different skills and you're like, I'm waiting for these skills to show up.
They're going to come
fighting anaconda. Nope. Basically becomes redundant to the whole plot.
That's funny.
Frustratingly.
Yeah.
But it does have the guy, the bad guy whose name is like John or something like that is very similar to John Voight where you're like, you are the best part of this film.
Yeah.
I'm like John Voight, huge piece of shit. The best part of that film.
Oh, absolutely.
He is incredible.
No doubt.
He is so slimy. That's awesome. He's got this accent you wouldn't believe. It's like some kind of Cajun. It's just insane.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, the original Anaconda, it didn't make a whole bunch of money. There's not really like fond memories of it.
Yeah.
Pairing it up with Lake Placid makes sense because it's the same kind of thing where it's
same
like
premise. Yeah.
Late in the day, 90s slasher where
people
like,
remember it, but no one really.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So with the Anaconda, it's like it's the remaking Anaconda, but it feels a bit Tropic Thunder because they're trying to make it fake and then they're like, what if we make it real?
And they've also got Jack Black in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jack Black is the director, but he's a wedding videographer, which the trailer doesn't really give us. And Paul Rudd's character is an actor, but he's only mostly been an extra. So they're like, there's going to be a big break.
Yeah.
Now there is a piece of casting here.
Yeah.
That really throws what this movie's going to be. Like, it confuses the shit out of me.
Okay.
And it's
I'm
not
intrigued.
Like a character, an actor we've mentioned already. It's Matt Berry.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Because he's
yeah.
playing the voice of the anaconda.
Okay.
Wow. What the hell?
What the fuck is happening?
What the fuck is going to happen in this? Well, my immediate prediction is something
Kangaroo
like
Kangaroo Jack?
Yeah, it's a Kangaroo Jack style. Kangaroo Jack, dude.
Finally, they bring in the styles of Kangaroo Jack back to cinema.
Yeah, like, fucking Kangaroo Jack, dude.
Maybe Doug and Ronald.
Yeah.
So Jack Black and Paul.
Is that their names, Doug and Ronald?
Yeah. It's Ronald Griffin Jr. or Griff, it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
And Doug McAllister, Jack Black.
I wonder when they're coming up with a guy's name. They're like, what do I go with? What's my guy?
Yeah, because like it does. It's
McAllister
like
that's Kevin's last.
Yeah, exactly. True, dude, you can't take that off Kev, man.
Yeah, come on, he's the original.
But it is funny. You're going to pick, you're like, because it kind of doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
What
like,
the guy's
I think
is.
It matters a little bit because you've got Steve Zahn here.
Yeah.
What's
he's
his name?
Playing Doug and Griff's friend. Kenny Trent.
Kenny Trent's
that's
really good.
That's a name for the
that's
ages.
A really good name.
Because there are some great names out there.
Mm,
and
no
I
doubt.
Feel like they generally seem to go for generic fella names in particular. Like these ones are not exciting to me.
No, you're getting a Carl or a John or a Steve maybe.
And I just think, juice it up a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Ronald Griffin Jr. is not getting the heart pumping.
I do like Griffin as a name, to be honest.
Yeah. And Ron, if they go by Ronald, I think that's okay.
Ron is a funny name.
Yeah. That's really good.
But it is.
Ronald. What about Gron?
Gron. Really good,
see,
dude.
Now we're cooking. Now we're in the kitchen.
Gron Farside.
Gron Farside.
Yeah, dude. Gron.
Well, movies occasionally do that, where they'll just throw in a name, where you're like, that's a made-up fucking name.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no one in the movie reacts to it, so you're just like, oh, go with it.
I guess everyone's chill with it.
Someone introduces themselves as Gron, and they're like, okay.
Oh, yeah, hi,
like,
Gron. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Gron.
Yeah.
Gron. First name Gron, last name Farside, like the comics.
Yeah.
That's how he introduces himself.
I was named after Gary Larson's Farside.
He's my dad.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
What were you saying?
Sorry, I zoned out. I wonder if legitimately we're getting Kangaroo Jacked in this movie, because this is the kind of joke I could see them pulling, because it's very this kind of movie. One of them, probably Jack Black, accidentally licks like a hallucinogenic frog.
Maybe a blood orchid or whatever.
Yeah, he eats a mushroom or some shit. And then the snake talks to him and says, Matt Berry.
I'm a snake. Also, the trailer, it's not a full kangaroo jacking because the trailer doesn't have the anaconda doing
it. It would be
dance.
A kangaroo jacking if the anaconda did a rap to the
dear Lord, Matt Berry rapping away as an anaconda.
If the whole trailer made it look like the anaconda was the third member of their posse.
Yes.
Kangaroo Jack. Yeah. We should watch Kangaroo Jack, dude.
It's crazy that it used to be an R-rated movie and they edited it down.
Really?
Yeah, Kangaroo Jack's one of their, like the Scooby-Doo situation. Mm. Oh. Kangaroo Jack was originally like a...
Yeah, okay, Kangaroo Jack time.
Dude, he can't help himself.
Kangaroo Jack time, baby.
Because my memory of Kangaroo Jack is that part of me wasn't sure it was a real movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, that can't, a rapping kangaroo, that's not, I don't think that exists.
No way, that's,
So it was originally an R-rated mob comedy called Down and Under.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Negative test screenings led producer Jerry Bruckheimer to retool the film into a PG-rated film, heavily re-editing the film and adding scenes of the anthropomorphic kangaroo. So Kangaroo Jack wasn't in the original work. Like,
oh, right.
So that rap and whatever, obviously not there, but I guess.
Well, because I think it was based on the basic premise of a guy. It's like an urban legend, I think, of a guy leaving his jacket on a kangaroo for some reason with money in the pocket. And the kangaroo jumps away.
Right.
And so that was like maybe the sort of inception of the idea.
What if that guy was a mobster?
Yeah, exactly. And they needed the money to pay someone back. And now they have to chase a kangaroo around.
Like, hold on. We're focused on the wrong guy here.
Yeah.
Let's go to the kangaroo.
Yeah. What if the kangaroo was a rapping cool guy?
What if he used that money to start a rap career?
Yeah, okay.
The last words in Kangaroo Jack is Kangaroo Jack coming back to life and putting his head, coming up to the screen, Porky Pig style, and saying, "That's all blokes."
That's really,
oh my god,
really
Google
good
that as soon as this episode's done. That's awesome.
But I think because it was R-rated initially, I remember reading about this kind of semi recently. You can tell.
Yeah.
Like, it's this stuff cut out, but also not quite enough to make it, like, feel like a... Like, there's still, I think, maybe some breast ogling that happens in the movie. Okay.
That makes me think of when I was a kid, we filmed Ace Ventura off the TV. Well, my parents did. We had to go to bed. And then we watched that, their filming of it, repeatedly. But there was always a scene where it would be, like, halfway through the scene and it would cut to, like, some other scene. You're like, oh, that's weird. And basically, Mum had cut the sex
That's
scene
so
out.
That's so funny. She
but
was editing
when I
it
finally
for you.
Watched the full version with sex scene,
It's
such an insane, because it's like him making animal noises, the bed going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Mum, we would have had no idea.
Bed's, he's just going, making funny noises.
He's making noises in bed. That's funny stuff.
I think I saw Ace Ventura 2 the most, which also is maybe, I don't know.
When
Nature Calls, exactly.
I feel like the audience shifted a little bit for that one because it went way into the wacky.
But he does still, doesn't he jack off in Ace Ventura 2? Because he's like with like some tribe somewhere. And I think one of them shows, one of the ladies in the tribe shows Ace Ventura her breasts, and then Ace Ventura jacks off.
I don't know if he jacks off.
He jacks off.
The rest of that scene is definitely right, I believe, because that's the Chicago.
Yeah.
When he's not allowed to say a thing, and then.
Yeah.
Doesn't he jack off? Listeners, get out your VHS copy of Ace Ventura When Nature Calls and tell me if he jacks off.
That movie opens with an homage to Cliffhanger. What do you think about that?
I think that's really cool, dude.
That hasn't aged at all. I think that's awesome.
Do you reckon every single person that's seen Ace Ventura When Nature Calls knows that that's a reference to the Sly Stallone movie Cliffhanger?
I would imagine, dude. My favorite Ace Ventura is Ace Ventura Jr. starring Josh Flitter, who I've... follow on Twitter, and everybody else should too. I don't think he's acting anymore.
Oh, Josh.
But I love him, dude.
Did he have the hair? Well, he had the hair?
Yeah,
the shirt?
And he, let me tell you, dude, shout out Josh Flitter. He nails it. The movie's no good, but he is acting his heart out.
He's
being
embodied
Jim Carrey.
Young
he really
Ventura.
Is.
That's not an easy task.
And what's crazy about that movie as well is that it's sort of implies that, because Ace Ventura Sr., Jim Carrey's grandpa, is in that movie as well.
Okay.
And it implies that it's sort of genetic, because Ace Ventura Jr., he's like, He's like, Dad, or Grandpa, I don't know why, but I have these feelings or something. And the grandpa's like, let me show you something. And he takes him to a chest and opens it up. And inside is like a Hawaiian shirt and maybe some hair gel. And then he becomes Jim Carrey all of a sudden. God. They solve a mystery involving pandas.
I love
pandas.
When movies do this. And like this is franchise sequel territory where it's like, there was just a slightly wacky character. And now we're giving the lore to the shirt.
Yeah, it's
to the
awesome.
Hawaiian shirt.
And it's so funny to also because they clearly Jim Carrey didn't want to come back.
Why would he?
They were like, and it's also not Ace Ventura.
For a 2009 straight to DVD sequel?
I don't know
Jim
why.
Carrey didn't want to come back?
What was he doing in 2009? Numbers? The number 27 or whatever? Yeah. That movie where he's haunted by math?
Great.
He could have done Ace Ventura Jr.
He could have done. He could have popped it.
I guess it would have been a cinematic release if it was Ace Ventura.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He could have just ducked his head in.
Imagine the box office if we got to see him give the shirt to his son.
Oh, and also
because they say he's missing in the movie, which is also really opens the door for him to get found.
Okay, well, he doesn't.
Oh, shit.
Kind of just like, well, we
that's
don't know what.
Distressing for fans.
2009.
Of Ace
Ventura. Yeah. So instead of doing Ace Ventura 2, he was doing A Christmas Carol, but also I Love You, Philip Morris, which I believe got nominated for
Awards.
Yeah,
okay. I Love You, Philip Morris
movie.
Is a really
he's
good,
had a good
movie.
But the year before that, 2008, Orton Hears a Who and Yes Man.
Okay, well,
number 23 before that, Fun with Dick and Jane.
Yeah, all iconic Jim Carrey movies.
That, Jim Carrey's career is
it
so
is weird,
weird,
isn't it?
Anytime he gets a huge win, he doesn't seem to capitalize on it.
No,
2004.
Yeah,
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Massive.
Series of Unfortunate Events doesn't do super well at the box office. Yeah. So then the next movie, Fun with Dick and Jane.
Yeah.
And then you take a year off and then you come back to make the number 23.
He's an enigma.
He's an enigma. What makes that man tick? We don't know.
I like that his last three movies have been the Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think that's really awesome.
I think
that's really
a nice
good.
Little zenith. Is that the end one? Zenith of his career.
I think so. Yeah. I think after this, he's going to retire forever. And then Josh Flitter.
Oh, can step into
step
his shoes.
Step in and do
he's
Ace
already
Ventura
done it
3.
Once. He's
exactly.
Well,
it.
You keep saying that Josh Flitter has retired from acting. He's
well,
in...
I don't know. He just doesn't tweet about acting.
He's in Driveway Dolls.
Damn, dude.
Oh, okay. Good
he
for
plays
him.
The bellboy. His first role was Young Bully in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Whoa, that's okay.
He must have shadowed Jim Carrey to
learn. He's also
work.
In Horton Hears a Who.
Whoa, so he was legitimately... He was... Dude... He was Jim Carrey. He was going to be the new Jim Carrey.
I think, what's the villain in Sonic? Dr. Eggman?
Dr. Eggman.
Yeah. If Jim ever steps away, we've got our Eggman in waiting.
Exactly.
He's been primed and ready to
Josh
go.
Josh Flitter's also in the Air Bud series.
Yeah. Look, Josh, if you're listening, come on the pod, guys.
Come on the
please.
Pod.
Come on the pod.
The same dog is in Snow Buddies, Space Buddies, and Santa Buddies?
That's crazy.
Jeez,
for
that's
who?
A hardworking canine.
Yeah.
Butterball. Who's that?
I don't know, dude. Some fucking dog. We gonna watch this movie?
I mean, so I think yes, because for Scaredy Boys, we probably will.
Yeah, fair.
I think this could be one of the biggest box office bombs of all time.
Yeah, I can see that, dude. I think it's definitely, at the very least, going to be one of the
Day,
biggest box office. Oh, yeah.
Unless there's a huge twist that gets people talking.
What could the twist be? What if they say... The anaconda can talk like a man.
The only thing I can think of is if this is Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Because Tropic Thunder like really took the world by storm and people want Tropic Thunder. But the thing with Tropic Thunder was...
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner or honestly function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Like, it...
This is not funny.
Yeah.
Nothing in the...
Tropic Thunder is also, like...
Yeah.
It's not that they've
actually... Tropic Thunder is almost subversive, in a way.
Mm. Well, it is subversive. Yeah. But at the same time, Tropic Thunder also, whilst being funny, still has, like, they're prisoners of war.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, there's other stuff. Like, as in, the movie is still...
Yeah.
Without the jokes, Tropic Thunder is still a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay, yeah.
But I think, unfortunately, this movie, Anaconda, has, like, a weird problem where it seems like the first half is, like, a comedy.
Yeah.
And then the back half has to be like a bad horror.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, agree. Whereas like horror comedy, like the best horror comedies are both horror and comedy at the same time. You're getting those because they work so well to bump up against each other because it's literally just a skew of the needle. If it this thing happens, it's funny. If this thing happens, it's horror. Where this feels like, one, the trailer gave away all the twists and turns.
Absolutely.
Up to and including the Jack Black got eaten and regurgitated by the snake, which they love to do. That happened in the original as well. So it feels like, I agree. It's going to be like comedy. And then now we've got to make it feel like, oh, wait, but they've actually walked into the real anaconda.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now it's scary. I can't imagine being scared at that point.
No, because you've done so much work to make me be like, oh, this is all silly. None of it's serious.
Right.
That when it does become like, I don't know. This movie feels also like very dated already. Somehow.
Yes.
Like, it feels like it should have come out about maybe 10 years ago.
Well, one of the writers got famous for working on The Late Show with David Letterman and then went on to work on Workaholics, Scrubs, and Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
I do fear that potentially, Kevin, if you're listening, you may not have your fingers on the pulse.
I mean, all those shows have been off the air for a while.
Co-wrote and produced the movie The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh, yeah. People seem to really like that movie.
Oh, actually, it's directed by the same... It's the same writing and directing team of that.
Okay.
This is a direct follow-up.
Okay.
So it's the... Tom Gormican and Kevin Essen, they both wrote the movies and then Tom directed it.
Did you see that one, Joel?
Yeah.
Was it
what
good?
What do you think?
I thought it was fine.
It was fine also.
Yeah, the premise, there's not quite enough to it. Also, made for $30 million, made $29
million. Yeah, okay.
Why do they think Anaconda is... Unless they're going for counter-programming.
Yeah.
Right.
What else are...
What else is coming out at the same time on Christmas Day?
Yeah, Christmas Day is a weird choice.
What is a Christmas... Christmas Day movies.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I get that you're like, it's a franchise no one cares about. So like, I think in a way it's disappointing. Where you go, we've got a franchise no one cares about. What are we going to do with it? And you can do anything.
Yeah, we should make a weird movie and release it Christmas Day.
Yeah, but they've not even made an interesting weird movie. No.
Like, it feels like... A Jumanji or whatever. It feels like, well, there's other Jack Black, which is like, oh, that worked. Let's do that again, but for Anaconda.
Yeah.
Maybe pairing these things together.
I believe the Jumanji movies used to be a Christmas Day release too.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Maybe they're like, well, we'll...
Would you watch them go to the movies on Christmas Day?
No, probably not.
No.
It used to have a pretty big turnout.
Did it?
Yeah.
So obviously, because I worked there when it used to be Christmas Day closed.
Yeah.
Christmas Day open. It wouldn't be quite as busy as Boxing Day, but if you open on Christmas Day, you would get huge rushes.
Because
you get a mix of like people in there
who hate their family.
Yeah,
well, like people desperate to sit in a dark room.
Well, people in like their like early to mid 20s, like people have like that. They can do what they want on Christmas Day, but don't necessarily have like
kids
their own family. So they'd be like, well, going to mum's for dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
Why don't we go see the movie that comes out on Boxing Day, but today?
Let's go see Anaconda.
But then also people that don't celebrate Christmas, big audience there.
Yeah.
Because it's basically a day where everything's shot. So
yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they're hoping for a nostalgia? Like, would anyone have nostalgia for this movie?
I really don't
think so.
Yeah.
Because like for me, no. Like there's a few from this era that I would say like – Deep Blue Sea is one that's sort of on a similar vein that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember watching that with my brothers and having a good time. But this one does not fit the bill for me.
No, and I think if you really loved the Anaconda franchise, this would not. It doesn't feel like a love letter to Anaconda. It feels like a. It feels, I don't know, cheap.
Okay, so the movie's opening on Christmas Day this year, at least in Australia. Anaconda, the SpongeBob movie Search for SquarePants, which blew up on TikTok because SpongeBob shits a brick or something.
Okay, yeah, so, yeah.
But also, Patrick has a fucked up ass in it, I think.
Awesome, dude.
That sounds
really good.
Now, that's how you get people to come to the cinema on Christmas Day.
He shows ass in the trailer, and I think his ass is all fucked up, but I can't remember. Can't remember if it's just an ugly ass or if he's caked up. Yeah. It's one of two.
I'm excited, dude.
It's either a wretched ass or a beautiful ass, but it's notable in one of two ways.
Either way, you got to see it.
Jackson, pull up the trailer.
Okay, I'll pull up the trailer. I'll try and find Patrick's disgusting ass.
Or beautiful.
Or beautiful.
Search for
square pants.
Have you seen that new SpongeBob whose name's like Normal Bob Regular Pants?
Normal
he's got a fucked up head.
Normal Bob Regular Pants.
It's some shit like that, dude. He's got a really fucked up head. He's like a horrible alternate reality SpongeBob.
Oh, alternate SpongeBob.
It's probably the name's wrong, but I'm watching the trailer. I'm waiting for Patrick.
Waiting for cheeks.
Waiting for his ass. Wait, hang on.
I've never seen a man so desperately pause.
Wait, hang on.
I don't know if this is the ass you
Go
mean.
Go back 5 seconds.
It's bare ass.
Oh, this isn't bare ass. Okay. I'm just noticing Patrick's cheek, though, I guess. I'm like, is this what you mean? Patrick's fat ass? No.
I'm fairly sure it's bare ass. I might be losing my mind.
Okay. I'm about halfway through the trailer and I've yet to see. He's in like a thong, but.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
He's got like an eye patch over his penis.
I feel like he turns around and he shows ass.
Okay, just saw Squidward. I mean SpongeBob shit a brick. sorry, I forget.
And then he goes,
the guys.
"Oh, my lucky brick."
Okay, I'm getting close to the end with no ass, dude. I don't know. Okay, come on. I think you've imagined. hang on, we've got like what? Oh, is it? Are you sure it's?
Oh.
You sure it's okay? Oh, he does have a disgusting ass. No, Dusha was right. Dusha was right.
I was sweating on that.
There's actually two asses in this that are worth seeing. Let me just go back. So,
feels like this is the movie we should have been talking.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. Okay, let me get to. I got
it.
Like,
consumed you.
It has. Okay, so there's. I got two asses to show.
All right.
Ass one.
Oh. That's
square
good.
Ass.
Square ass on
for
SpongeBob.
A square sponge. That's terrific.
Bless you, Dusha.
Thank you.
And then Patrick's ass is gross.
Oh, no. It's saggy.
Sloppy ass.
He's got saggy cheeks. He's got saggy cheeks, dude. Yes,
not to be confused with his friend Sandy Cheeks.
Yeah.
Dude, this is another cartoon.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing this more and more. In The Simpsons, show Homer ass, show Bart ass, people stay seated. But if you were to show Marge ass, exactly the same situation,
you can't do it.
People would lose their mind.
You can't do it, dude.
Family Guy, Peter ass, no one cares. Lois ass, crazy.
They could never show
SpongeBob
Lois ass,
movie.
Dude.
You put both Patrick and SpongeBob's ass in the trailer,
no one bats
an eye. If Sandy Cheeks was showing cheeks, people would run through the cinema screen.
It'd be rough.
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's fucked up, dude.
Dude, justice. It's fucked up. Justice for beautiful cartoon ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I agree,
lady
dude.
Cheeks out there.
There's no difference in this wretched world of ours between Marge's ass and Homer's ass.
Yeah.
Okay? And like, except they're better.
Yeah.
If I had to choose one to see,
I would rather see Marge's ass.
Every day.
Yeah, but also, hey, I could be laughing at Marge's ass.
Yeah, it could be funny too.
Could be funny to show Marge's ass. I'm just pointing that out.
It could be a laugh, dude. It could be a laugh.
She's got some blue hair down the crack.
Yeah, that's funny.
Blue crack?
Blue crack on Marge?
Pissing my pants. The other movie that comes out on Christmas Day is The Housemaid, which stars Sydney Sweeney, who is out of favor now and is on the back of two box office bombs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know if that was going to be good. And Rental Family.
Oh, yeah, that's Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So maybe it's counter-programming. Yeah. Where they
the
go this
week before is Avatar, so I guess they've just been like, step aside for the big guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I guess you could see it as counter-programming where they're like, Christmas Day, if you don't want to see a kid's movie, and you don't want to see like a kind of I don't know what The Housemaid is, but like a, you know, kind of more thoughtful movie, maybe you're not interested in. You just want to watch like an action comedy.
Yeah.
You're going to see Anaconda.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably what it is. This one feels like one for the dads.
Yeah.
You've got Paul Rudd, you've got Jack Black. You're like, oh, I could have a beer with those fellas.
Yeah, exactly. There'll be a couple of laughs. Oh,
they're going to be kooky and funny.
Exactly. They're going to be screaming and running around. Yeah. Ah, whatever.
That's just good stuff.
The Housemaid is a psychological thriller directed by Paul Feig.
Oh, damn. Okay. Interesting.
Bridesmaid's Own. That's right. Oh. I'm reducing him to just Bridesmaid.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
Is it his best film?
Yeah.
Or Ghostbusters 2016.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I would choose Bridesmaids. Yeah, those
fair
ones.
Enough. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Have we got any big swings for Anacondas?
I still think that if they are confident enough to release this on Christmas Day, there has to be this movie must have a secret.
Well, Matt Berry is sort of an internet darling.
Yes.
Like, people love to see Matt Berry.
It's good when he walks out the window or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, have
dude.
You given away their big twist by just looking up the cast list?
But that's a Wikipedia cast. Right. Could, not even like, I didn't go deep.
You didn't have to dig for this one.
This could be a movie that has a bunch of weird meta layers to it as well.
Yeah.
Like, it could be like, we've seen Act 1 and 2, and Act 3 gets really weird and crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
I would be there for that.
Yeah,
me too. From what I've seen in the trailer, you're like, okay, one, you've told us way too much, if that is the whole film. And two, it feels
how
like
how do they kill
the
snake? That's the one thing the trailer has kind of made it hot, because I guess they've had to censor the violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Rudd's acting with their actor snake, and then he kills it somehow, but I don't know how.
I'm assuming he just tears its head off?
I think that was, I thought the blades of the boat.
Oh, he must knock it in the water, maybe, and it gets...
because it was at the back of the boat. That was my feeling.
Yeah, because I
but then Bigger Snake comes on board.
Yeah, exactly.
Bigger Snake, because they have to go get a real snake from the jungle that they're near or something.
Yeah.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent does have a couple of cameos. Okay. Nothing too crazy, but like Neil Patrick Harris, Demi Moore.
Yeah.
David Gordon Green in that brief moment where he was a director that people were excited to see, and then he accidentally made a couple of movies that people wanted to kill him for, and now he's dead to Hollywood.
Yeah, okay.
He made the Halloween reboot, and everyone was like, fuck yeah, it would be awesome if podcasters let out Michael Myers. And then he made...
that would be funny.
Yeah. Then unfortunately, he also then made... Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends and The Exorcist Believer. As someone who hosts Scaredy Boys, do you forget that The Exorcist Believer exists?
Truly do. Like, so we were going to, I had that on the radar. I was like, oh, we should probably check that one out. And then the reviews came out. You're like, oh, I don't think I'm
am I really going to waste my time?
Yeah, there's a lot of other classics we still have time to get to. That's a shit run for him. We watched the first Halloween for Scaredy Boys that he did. And it was really, like, even with the podcaster element, which already felt a bit dated by that point, it was a good film. I wish they had stopped there, because it even had it sort of ended pretty nicely.
But then they were like, evil dies tonight. We got to chant until someone throws themselves off a building.
Yeah, Natch. Okay. I don't know. I haven't actually seen the next two.
Okay.
Oh, Halloween Kills is bananas. Halloween Ends is bad.
Okay.
Halloween Kills is probably the worst of the trilogy, but it's also the craziest.
Right.
Interesting.
The town just go crazy, but like into like kind of like they almost become like a cult.
Huh.
Oh, they don't. Have you seen Halloween 3, Season of the Witch?
Yeah.
They don't go Season of the Witch cult.
Okay. If they brought the masks from Season of the Witch into this.
No, they go crazy because they're like, they keep thinking different people are Michael Myers, I think.
Oh,
they make
shit.
Like a guy kill himself, but then it turns out he was just an innocent guy.
Huh.
Because they just keep chanting evil dies tonight.
Season of the Witch is like a movie that has some incredible shots.
Yeah.
And like it has some really good stuff. And also some sections where I was the most bored I've ever been in my
life. It's a bananas film.
It's really weird.
It's like when you break down the plot of it, it's illogical.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. But it's also a weird joy.
Yeah.
It's really fun to
absolutely
watch.
And it's got a real awesome downer ending too. Like
super downer.
It's kind of amazing.
Super downer. There's like, so fuck it. I'm going to spoil it, I guess. But it cuts away, right? We don't, we see him yelling in the phone being like, duh-rah-rah. So when we did that movie, I found out from some trivia that basically initially the script said we cut to black and the sounds of millions of children dying.
Whoa.
It was literally the way it was described. Just in case there was any doubt that the masks did their job, they did their job. They are now bugs and snakes for sure.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I forgot the kids became bugs and snakes.
They become bugs and snakes. Why? Because the microchips in their masks have some grains from Stonehenge.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. It all lines up. Don't worry about it.
Awesome movie.
Fucking great movie.
Yeah.
If this movie had some shit like that.
Yeah, if that was the ending,
that would get me more excited.
Yeah, go. It's kind of not weird enough for what they, I don't know, what maybe they want out of it. I think
horror movies are big at the moment.
Mm. Yeah.
But they have to be doing something.
Yeah, and this came out
10, 15 years ago, I think people would be like, whoa, you can make a movie in a movie?
Yeah,
That's crazy. Now it's like we've literally seen this plot before.
And I think it's a kangaroo jacking too.
Yeah,
I think
they're going to jack off hard.
It's a kangaroo jack off situation.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's just so much, like, think about all the movies that have come out this year.
Yeah.
And to be like, damn, Anaconda, can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if you like horror movies, you've had a feast. Like,
yeah, 100%.
What a year for horror. Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, but it's like kind of funny horror, hey, Weapons is funny too.
Yeah absolutely, yeah. Dude.
Some very Together?
Together's
funny movie.
Good one.
Yeah, dude. Look, I think it's going to stink, but I'm excited to see how Matt Berry voices a snake.
Yeah, if Oingo Boingo shows up, that's fine.
If Oingo Boingo's Secret of the Water is in this movie, dude, that's the movie they should remake, okay?
Yeah.
Now, hey, let's jump to the bsboyspod@gmail.com inbox to see what the good people have to say to us. So let's start with this one, which caught my eye, which says... the topic is question Matt Damon 9/11.
Okay, interesting.
Okay.
Dear When Is the Zoo Video Boys, it'll happen. I've recently learned that some people think it's silly that Matt Damon said he would have been able to stop the terrorists from taking over the September 11th flights. He seems like he has muscles and can fight, so I don't think it's that crazy. Do you think the BS Boys audience could all send a message to Matt Damon asking him to film a video of himself taking down some terrorists so everyone can stop thinking that what he said is silly? Thank you, Thomas. And then there is a follow-up from Thomas addressing the one major error.
Okay. The one we're all aware of.
I mistyped that name. I meant Mark Wahlberg. Thank you, Thomas. Now, I will say, I don't think that's a mistyping.
No, I think this is Matt Damon 7 times in that email.
I think you truly believed in your heart of hearts that it was Matt Damon that said that.
I would love a word.
Matt Damon instead was simply the actor that said, hey, I've stopped using the F slur because my daughter at the dinner table said, we don't say that anymore. And this interview was during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a hero. What a legend.
I love the idea of, in a way, I'm sad we never got a follow-up email where you corrected yourself, Thomas, because the idea of BS heads sending Matt Damon.
Yeah, randomly spamming Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, I know you think you could take down the terrorists in 9/11.
Show us
the evidence. Where's the proof? That's awesome. I thought that would be worthwhile addressing. This is from...
Matt Damon, 2021. Matt Damon is facing backlash after revealing in an interview that he stopped using the F slur for a homosexual only months ago after his daughter taught him that that was wrong.
Wow, dude.
And that was unprompted in an interview
as well. Really
he listed that with pride. Like, guys, look how good I am. Look how good this is.
The best... like celebrity madness is always unprompted. Like, who is it? God, I mean, his name.
Liam Neeson. He has that famous racist tirade that was
unprompted. No, I'm thinking about it's when like same-sex marriage was legalized in, I think, America, maybe. Who is this guy? He's a British actor. And he's like, really makes you think because, well, a father could marry his son. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he's like, they're like, no, that would be incest. He's like, wrong. Incest is only between a man and a woman. And they go, I don't think you're, what? Who is that? Oh, God.
You got to tell me what your Google search is for that one.
Incest.
Only
British
between.
Actor.
Jeremy Irons, 2013, said that a father could marry his son for financial reasons.
It's such a funny interview. Because Jeremy Irons is not, it's clear he's not trying to make a statement or anything.
Right.
He's just like, that's very interesting. Like, he's like, he's like, well,
a
I think.
A little thought experiment for you.
Actually, maybe this would be a problem. There's another Jeremy Irons. He does that all the time.
Okay.
Where he does.
Jeremy Irons has backtracked over his controversial comment that legalizing gay marriage might lead to fathers marrying their sons to avoid inheritance tax.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Jeremy.
So Jeremy.
Cool. And the interview was like,
What?
Well, no, that would be incest. And he's like, no, incest is just to stop, like, inbreeding. And the guy goes, I think there's other reasons.
Yeah, there's other reasons.
Jeremy, I think there's other reasons we avoid that.
I love that Jeremy's head went straight to income tax and he's inheritance like, well, tax.
It's very dangerous.
Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. So,
it's so funny.
He says, I worry that it means... So he goes, I worry that it means we change or debase what marriage is. Mm-hmm. And then he pauses for a moment. He goes, tax-wise, it's an interesting one. Could a father not marry his son? It's not incest between men. Incest is there to protect us from inbreeding, but men don't breed. So incest wouldn't cover that.
And then the interviewer said, Jeremy, I just asked you who your favorite actor to work with
Jeremy,
was.
What are you saying?
What are you fucking saying?
What are you talking about?
Actors occasionally just go like fully off script and lose their fucking mind.
Well, because you see that and you go, oh, that's right, you have actor brain. Like you aren't a real person. Yeah. You don't live in the real world.
Reality that is not true.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Wahlberg's comments also came from just out of nowhere.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Do I believe that if people were trying to take over a plane and with guns, remember?
Yeah.
Because here's another thing that you might be misremembering about 9/11. People did try and stop them. Yeah. No one was just like, huh.
Oh, damn.
Let them go. Because that's why there's one of the planes didn't land. It's assumed that because the reason that one of the planes didn't hit its target is because the passengers revolted and were like,
right.
Yeah, you were taking the plane down. We're gonna crash it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Would there have been a lot of blood in the first class cabin if Mark Wahlberg was on that plane? Yeah,
yeah.
But it was probably Mark Wahlberg's.
Yeah, exactly.
He immediately got gunned down.
Yeah. Because
they
had nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Bullets can hurt you.
Yeah. This next email, the subject is colonoscopy is better than Tron Ares.
Okay.
I love Tron Legacy. I've watched it countless times and also enjoy the soundtrack on my playlist daily. I don't mind the original Tron, but time has not been kind to it. Now, here we are at Tron Ares, and I never knew I could actually hate a movie before I've seen it. Not only is the main actor extremely problematic, but is also a terrible actor, and the only good thing he was ever in was Psycho when Christian Bale removed him from this plane of existence with a fire axe. This brings me to my colonoscopy. I got to choose the date, and I figured, well, what's better than watching a sad man attempt acting? Getting a camera shoved up my ass. At least the cinematography will be better. So here's my question. What would you rather watch? Tron Ares or a 30-minute colonoscopy video?
I'd prefer to watch Tron Ares.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I agree with you that Tron Ares is not going to be a good movie, but I think if I had to watch a colonoscopy video, I'd feel very unwell at the end of it. But nevertheless,
look,
I'm
sure it's got some interesting twists and turns in the colonoscopy video.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think there's other actors besides Jared Leto that I would be happy to watch. So I'll give them a chance.
And then finally, this is from Tommy, and it comes with a wonderful piece of art, which is not at all relevant to baseless speculation, but nevertheless, they've sent it to the bsboyspod@gmail.com inbox, so God bless them. They say, it's an interpretation of the Shut Up a Second story Jackson told about teaching his fellow students about the joys of self-love in a dress. I don't know. There's a lot of stories combined here, and I love that. I think the story is lovely. This is from a place of love and admiration, Tommy.
Yep.
And it is a beautiful, let's see if I can view the image, a beautiful picture of me teaching other students how to masturbate.
Yeah, that's
when
beautiful.
I was in primary school.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Thomas?
Tommy, yeah.
Oh, Tommy. Tommy sent that image to Base of Speculation, Thumb Cramps, and I believe Sans Pants Radio.
It's a beautiful piece of art, so Tommy, I appreciate it. And
Tommy, I'm really looking forward to it showing up in the Skatey Boys inbox.
Yeah. You got to send this around. Get it going everywhere.
I just found another celebrity interview. Because I was like, I'm sure that there's some other ones that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
So obviously there's the Robert Pattinson one where he tries to make his famous.
Oh yeah,
he tries to make his handheld pasta.
Yeah,
where he ends up putting tin foil in the microwave, and the interviewer's like, "Hey, don't do that."
Yeah,
and he's like, "No, trust me." And then it catches fire, and then he gets like really pissed off. He's like, "It's not working."
Yeah, oh,
it
God,
usually is
awesome.
Fine, and he's pouring heaps of sugar in the water to boil the pasta. Anyway, there's one with Miles Teller.
Yeah,
right.
the wait. So this is an excerpt from it.
Yeah.
The waitress delivers the entrees. Scallops for him, pork belly for you. The pork looks great and you offer him some. I'll take a little bit, he says, soaring at it. Then I can't cut this. You have to cut his meat for him. A man who 10 minutes earlier showed you an iPhone photo of his back muscles to prove how strong he is.
Oh, that's awesome.
He wants you to cut it small. I don't have back teeth, he says. I literally have four teeth. That's not true. That's not true. He's right, though. This pork belly is really hard to cut. But still. But still. And then he goes, what are you, bullying me now, he says. His goading is a habit, compulsive, almost athletic. I didn't know they fucking put marble on top of their pork belly. So he couldn't, he was doing an interview.
He couldn't cut the pork belly and got frustrated and pissed off.
Went crazy. Dude, I've only got 14.
That's awesome. People are, actors are crazy people.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the emails. You can send us an email at bsboyspod@gmail.com. And if you want to support us, please sign up to Baseless Speculation Plus. You get this. All Baseless Speculation Plus episodes ad-free, plus a bonus episode of What Have I Been Watching, Shang-Chi or whatever, where presumably we'll now be watching Oingo Boingo's Secrets in the Water, an incredible movie. And thank you, Deimos, so much for joining us.
Delights.
If people want to find you, if they want to hear more of you, where do they need to go?
They can go to their whatever beautiful podcatcher they use. They can type in the words Scaredy and Boys.
Okay.
All things going well, that will lead them to our podcast. They can have a listen to that.
There's no major issues.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on their end, but hopefully that gets them where they need to go. They can check out Scaredy Boys. Otherwise, they can also find us on Instagram at Scaredy Boys Podcast, or individually, I'm at DamienRob.writer.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Damo. And to the listeners, thank you so much for checking this podcast out. If you've got any moments of celebrities losing their mind in an interview, please forward them on.
At the very least, go check out the Jeremy Irons interview. Because
what's he saying?
And like the way he says it makes it so
funny.
Could
a father not marry his son?
Yeah, that's
for tax reasons.
He's like,
it's very interesting.
No, that's not incest.
Oh, wait, everything you just said is ridiculous.
It's really good. Check
and,
it out.
And obviously, let us know if you're going to go see Anaconda. Otherwise, you'll catch us peeking Patrick's horrible cheeks.
Yes, that's where we'll be on Christmas Day,
that's
dude.
Christmas Day sorted.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Damo.
We've already done this bit, I think.
Yeah. Can I also say, that's all blokes.
Yeah. Give it a.
And this has been another episode of Baseless Speculation, and we were with the BS Boys.